Let's turn to Leviticus chapter 20. Okay, follow along with me. Leviticus 20 is the word of the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "You shall also say to the sons of Israel, any man from the sons of Israel or from the aliens sojourning in Israel who gives any of his offspring to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I'll also set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given some of his offspring to Molech so as to defile my sanctuary and to profane my holy name. If the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Molech so as not to put him to death, then I will myself will set my face against that man and against his family, and I will cut off from among their people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. As for the person who turns to mediums and to spiritists to play the harlot after them, I will also set my face against that person and will cut him off from among his people. You shall consecrate yourselves, therefore, and be holy, for I am the Lord your God. And you shall keep my statutes and practice them. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. If there is anyone who curses his father or his mother, he shall surely be put to death. He has cursed his father or his mother, his blood guiltiness is upon him. If there is a man who commits adultery with another man's wife, one who commits adultery with his friend's wife, the adulterer and the adulteress shall surely be put to death. If there is a man who lies with his father's wife, he has uncovered his father's nakedness, both of them shall surely be put to death, but their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with his daughter-in-law, both of them shall surely be put to death. They have committed incest, their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who lies with a male as those who lie with a woman, both of them have committed a detestable act. They shall surely be put to death, their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who marries a woman and her mother, it is immorality. Both he and they shall be burned with fire, that there will be no immorality in your midst. If there is a man who lies with an animal, he shall surely be put to death. You shall also kill the animal. If there is a woman who approaches any animal to mate with it, you shall surely kill the woman and the animal. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. If there is a man who takes his sister, his father's daughter, or his mother's daughter, so that he sees her nakedness, and she sees his nakedness, it is disgrace, and they should be cut off in the sight of the sons of their people. He has uncovered his sister's nakedness. He bears his guilt. If there is a man who lies with a menstruous woman and uncovers her nakedness, he has laid bare her flow, and she has exposed the flow of her blood. Those both of them should be cut off from among the people. You shall also not uncover the nakedness of your mother's sister or of your father's sister, for such a one has made naked his blood relative. They shall bear their guilt. If there is a man who lies with his uncle's wife, he has uncovered his uncle's nakedness, they shall bear their sin, they shall die childless. If there is a man who takes his brother's wife, it is abhorrent, he has uncovered his brother's nakedness, they shall be childless. And you are therefore to keep all my statutes and all my ordinances and do them so that the land to which I am bringing you to live will not spew you out. Moreover, you shall not follow the customs of the nations which I shall drive out before you, for they did all these things, and therefore I have abhorred them. Since I have said to you, you are to possess their land, I myself will give it to you to possess it, a land flowing with milk and honey. I am the Lord your God, who has separated you from the peoples. You therefore to make a distinction between the clean animal and the unclean, between the unclean bird and the clean, and you shall not make yourselves detestable by animal or by bird or by anything that creeps on the ground, which I have separated for you as unclean. Thus you are to be holy to me, for I the Lord am holy, and I have set you apart from the peoples to be mine. Now a man or a woman who is a medium or a spiritist shall surely be put to death. They shall be stoned with stones. Their blood guiltiness is upon them. Amen. This is actually the conclusion of certain laws, and then the next chapter we're going to deal with the holiness of priests and all those things. But to give you an idea of Leviticus, to break it down, actually it goes in two different parts. The first part goes from chapter 1, and it finishes at chapter 16 when he talks about the Day of Atonement. And how this works is, the idea is, this is how one comes to God. So this is how you can come to the Lord. Very, very simply, these are the sacrifices, these are the rituals, these are the rites, these are the days that you are to commemorate. And so the second part, which we've been dealing with this whole time, is the first part, how one comes to God. The second part is how one keeps in touch with God. In other words, now that you've come to the Lord, how can you keep staying in His presence? And so He has all these different rules and regulations, laws that goes by. So let's talk about a few of them. You know, this is not the most uplifting passage of Scripture, but we'll see what we can do with this. So He talks about human sacrifices and immoralities. And so the first part, He says, if anyone gives your offspring to the idol Molech, and Molech was a very, very well-known idol. In fact, the last time that I was in Israel, we went to visit what they would call the high places. And it's very interesting that there's all these columns that go up. You know, it's up on a hill already. There's all these columns that go up, and so it's actually another platform, and this is where they would perform sacrifices to their gods, and really, really dark place. This became so prevalent that the authority and the power of the kings later on, when you go through 1st and 2nd Kings, 1st and 2nd Chronicles, the power of really their authority was if they had replaced the high places. And you'll see that term a lot, you know, high places. And that this is where the people would hide and do these kind of abhorrent things before the Lord. So there was Molech, and what Molech demanded, the word, it says offspring, actually it's probably better translated as seed. And what Molech demanded was your firstborn son. And your firstborn son was to be sacrificed and given to this god. And as a result of that, you know, you would prosper and, you know, and all these things. Molech wouldn't be upset with you and whatnot. I mean, I've made a connection in the past, and I'll do so again, that this, you know, Molech has not died by any means whatsoever. And now, as, you know, the people living in our time, we're much more sophisticated, and abortion now has replaced this sacrificing of our infants, of basically of this god of Molech. And that's a modern day children's sacrifice, which is quite sad that it happens so regularly. It's even sadder that governments actually are saying that there's no problem with this whatsoever. And in the this whole thing got lost in the fog of women's rights, and that in itself is a tragedy. And so He says, and when this happens, you shall put to death, and you shall stone him with stones. Let me explain how this happens. They'll have a person who's guilty without a doubt. Remember the Jewish system of their legal. It wasn't a mob kind of mentality. That's why when Jesus comes and he's presented with the woman caught in adultery. That's a mob. That actually goes against the law. I think, and some scholars believe, that Jesus, when He went down to write on the floor, He was actually reminding them of this law, that you're able to make a case against your accuser. That's why this whole idea of two or three witnesses is so important. And so you had a right to defend yourself, you know, against these two or three witnesses and whatnot. And obviously, when that mob came, they wanted to stone her right on the spot. That actually is not permitted under the Mosaic law. And so so when this happens, I don't want you to think that, you know, they catch someone and boom, right now justice is rendered on the spot. No, there is due process. And if they're found guilty of this or whatever offense of stoning, what they would typically do is that there would be a large stone, and they would have the person walk by the stone, and when they got to enough place, they would fall down on the stone. It would be themselves, okay? And so they voluntarily, and it would be this idea of that, yeah, I'm guilty, and so I'm rendering my own punishment. So they walk by, and so basically the stone would hit their head. And then if they didn't die from that, you know, so you can imagine, you know, a person's walking by, and they would just fall backwards. And if they didn't die from that, then they allow the accuser, in other words, the person who was wrong, to take a big stone and drop it on their chest, right? And so, you know, to crush, you know, their chest. If that didn't work, then people were permitted to pick up stones. And there were, and it was only the people that were wronged. It wasn't just any Joe Blow, you know, that can do this, but it's usually people who are wrong or people involved in this incident, and then they could pick up the stones and then finish the job. So I don't want you to think or have this idea when you talk about stoning that, you know, it was it sounds very medieval when we think about it, but it was actually quite humane in this sense. And it wasn't like, you know, like we see pictures and people are getting stoned, and they're like standing, it's like they're getting hit here and there. They're basically almost dead already. And when people were casting the stones, it was basically the final blows. I know it still sounds very medieval, but it was fairly humane, the way they went about it. But again, it was only those people that were wrong or that were part of the incident that happened that had the right to do that. And so he says, this happens now. Then the Lord says something interesting after that. He says that person, you know, will be, so this is the worst punishment. That person will be stoned and cut off from the people. So, you know, they're no longer a part of this. Then the next part, in verse 4, he says, if the people of the land, however, should ever disregard that man when he gives any of his offspring to Molech, so as not to put him to death, that I will set my face against that man and against his family. I'll cut off from among the people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. And this is what he's saying. If you are a witness, if you actually witness this, that a person is sacrificing their child to Molech, and you witness this and you don't do anything about it, God says that my anger will burn against you and your family as well. In other words, you are not your brother's keeper. You did not take care of, you know, what is considered right and holy in this regard. And this is quite an interesting word for us, because, you know, it's this really this issue of, and I'll break it down into a modern way that we can understand. Let's say you're in house church, and let's say there's someone in your house church let's say you know that they're living with somebody, they're sleeping with someone outside of marriage, you know, and whatnot, and you don't do anything. In other words, your silence or your acknowledgement of their act and your silence to that act, in God's economy, is akin to being a participant in that act. You guys understand that? Right? Your acknowledgement. In other words, it's not a secret. Like, you know, your acknowledgement and then your silence is really akin to your approval of that act. And I think a lot of Christians these days really struggle with this. Because, one, most people are very insecure, and they just want people to like them, or they just don't want to be bothered. You know, in our family, actually, I got in big trouble yesterday because of this. But, you know, I grew up really competitively, you know, believe it or not. And so I'm a very, very competitive person. And so we have this thing at home where, like, you know, Hannah and I, we're like, really, you know, I'm always trying to get closer to Hannah. I mean, that's the basic idea, because she's always quite, leaves me. I have to work hard, you know, for her affection. But so we have this thing by saying, you know, Hannah, you know, we're on, you know, you're on my team. You know, you're on my side, right? And then we recruit Andrew. So Andrew's on my side because he's a boy. So, you know, so we're on side. And then Elise has her side, you know, and so this is a constant battle. Well, we got in trouble for it anyway. But, you know, I don't know what I was getting with this. What was I talking about? Competition. Yeah, insecurity, right? And so, you know, a lot of times, even in our own home, you know, we want to be liked. You know, we don't want to cause trouble. Oh, I know what I was getting my dad. So, what we always both sides. myself, like Hannah and Elise, we always try to recruit Emma. Emma is like she's the decision maker, right? She, whatever side she chooses, she's the last vote. And Emma, her nickname is Switzerland, because all she says all the time is, I'm on no one's side, I don't want to get involved, and she walks away. Every single time, I don't want to get involved. It doesn't matter how, even the minuscule decision, I don't want to get involved. You know, and a lot of Christians are like that. I don't want to be bothered. I don't want to get involved. You know, I don't want people to not like me. I don't want to cause any trouble. I don't want to get involved. But going back to this text, your witnessing, your silence in God's economy is a key to your approval. And so, I would suggest to us, see, we're not God's policemen. You know what I mean? That's not the role that we should be playing. But we are our brother and our sister's keeper. The idea of community and love, and I would say that confronting, you know, speaking truth in love is a very, very loving act. You know, I did this last week. I did do it, you know, quite a few times. And I know in my role, you know, there's a part of it there. But in the reality, I just say some very straightforward things to some people, you know, that were making huge mistakes in their life. And not mistakes out of my judgment, but mistakes that are very contrary to God's word, very, very clear, you know. And so a lot of times, you know, we need to really take this to heart. Again, look, our heart, we're not the policemen, right? God doesn't need cops, okay? You know, God needs sons and daughters that will build his house. And the simple reality is God needs people that will care enough for other people, that will say something, confront them in love, right, and lead them into truth. You know, we say this phrase a lot in SP, you know, any jackass can kick a barn down. And that's what cops, you know, not cops, but, you know, Christian cops or God's cops are just always pointing. You know, it doesn't take any skill to point out what's wrong with somebody. You know what I mean? I mean, we can do that very easily. We don't need any discernment. We don't need God, because that's what the enemy does. He's the accuser of the brethren. And it takes no skill to accuse people and whatnot. But, you know, like any jackass can kick a barn down, but it takes a skilled craftsman to build a house. And it's a whole nother thing altogether to get involved in someone's life, you know, to lead them in truth and bring them out of whatever situation that they're in. And so you have to make sure that when you are confronting and when you are, you know, talking to someone about things, that you have the right heart, right? That you're there to build the house. You know, their house, the house of God. I mean, you can draw all kinds of, you know, conclusions through that. But that's really love. And he says here, right? He says, if you should disregard the man who gives any of his offspring to Molech, is not to put him to death, then I myself will set my face against that man and against his family. I'll cut off from among the people both him and all those who play the harlot after him by playing the harlot after Molech. And so, you know, obviously this is not dealing, you know, necessarily with someone that just witnesses. I mean, they were there. You know what I mean? They went to these secret places and they participated, you know, in this and didn't do anything. You know, didn't say, hey, I don't think you should do this, you know, and simple things like that. And that's love, right? Don't let your insecurities, right? Don't let your desire not to get involved or, you know, whatnot. Don't let that get in the way, because you're not being a very good brother or a very good sister. You know, I mean, I would hope that, you know, if I'm falling on the wrong path, you know, even as a pastor, I would hope that there's people that love me enough, you know, to say, hey, Sam, you know, I don't think you should be going down that road, you know, or Sam, you know, I don't think you should be doing this thing. And that's really value of having some very good accountability, right? I mean, I really appreciate some of my buddies that said, hey, you know, make sure, you know, this is happening. Make sure you're not doing this. And I mean, I always very much appreciate it because I know it's coming from a place of love. And, you know, when we think about church and when we think about body and community and those kinds of things, you know, it begs us to ask the question, what does it mean to be a community? Does it just mean we go out and eat together? You know, what does it mean to be brothers and sisters in Christ? You know, does it mean that, you know, that we just hang out, you know, after service? Does it mean we just pray for them every once in a while, you know, when they're in a crisis? Or does it mean that we really, really help them to grow? Amen? You know, the rest of it is all these immoralities, right? Some of them are really gross, you know, like with animals and stuff like that. So just don't do it. Don't even think about it. It's like, it's so gross. I can't even express how, you know, in any case. So let's close our eyes. And let's think about that last question I asked, right? I mean, what does it mean to be a friend? What does it mean to be a brother and sister in Christ? If you knew your friend was drowning, would you jump in the water and help them? If you knew they couldn't swim, but they were playing really close to the water, would you grab a hold of them? For the wages of sin is death. Sin separates us from the presence of God. Are you being a good friend? Are you being a good brother or sister? Are you being a good brother's keeper or sister's keeper? Think through some relationships in your life and people that are on the wrong path. What are you doing about it? And let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we worship.
His hand, all I have need of him. song. The theme of the stories I've heard of so long. If he'll be faithful, he will be again. His loving compassion, it knows no end. All I have needed, his hands will provide. He's always been faithful to me.
Let's pray this morning. Let's ask God to come and stir our hearts. If there are friends and people that you know that are kind of on a wrong path right now, let's ask God for help and wisdom and discernment to help them, to jump into that pool and bring them out. And whatever situation that they're in, that you can speak that truth in love. Let's lift up right now. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community, and let's be our brother and sister's keepers in this regard. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for healing. Let's cover their family members, that they would receive that healing word from God. Huh? Let's pray. Let's pray over our community that's encountering illness but also needs to be saved. And let's pray God would heal them and save them. Let's pray for our community that needs to be healed. Let's pray for God's healing word. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for God's provision. Let's pray for China this morning. Let's lift up SP Beijing. Pray for the leaders and board, PSAM Kim, as he's in the States right now on his annual leave. Pray for this is a time of refreshing for him and his family. Let's lift up Jessie. Pray for God's work in her life and the Chung family. Pray for Leanne. Pray for Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, kids in Chichar and the churches. And let's just ask the Lord to move upon China and bless our friends ministering there. Let's pray for our staff. Let's pray that God would cause us to have wisdom and discernment, and that we'd be healthy to serve the Lord with all of our heart. Let's just pray for unity and God to really use our staff to build His church. Pray for our worship, sound, and media teams. Let's pray for a heart of worship. Let's pray as they serve the Lord that it would be with such joy and it would emanate from their presence when they lead us. And let's pray over all of our sound equipment as well and our leaders at PowerPoint. And let's just pray that God would really use them to lead us in really seamless worship before the Lord. Let's pray for Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for this real spirit of creativity. Let's pray for the next edition of Spread coming out soon. Let's pray that all of them will work together well, that the visions would align with SP. Now let's just cover. Pray for our house churches meeting tonight at Cornhill, Bonham, Kowloon, Lan Kwai Fong, East Enders, and Old Peak Road. Let's pray that each one would just really be filled with the presence of God and just really share their testimonies with one another and just their stories. Let's pray for just a real blessing tonight. Lastly, I know it's not on the board, but let's pray for our town hall that we're having this Sunday night. Let's pray for this incredible time of celebration that, you know, our people would first come out, first of all. Let's pray for the hand of God upon us. And please pray for everyone behind the scenes that's doing all the PowerPoint presentations and all that. Let's pray for them to have real wisdom and discernment. Let's just cover. Father, thank you, God, this morning. Thank you for reminding us, God, that we play a part, God, in people's spiritual growth, Lord. We pray, God, that you would help us to, first of all, always move in love, Lord, and care, and that there would be wisdom in the things that we say, God, that we would really speak the truth in love. Help us to help others, God. We thank you, Lord. Watch over us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.